The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy, your host, every Saturday and Sunday, as our promo didn't say Sunday because we added Sunday about a year ago. We haven't redone the promo. So we're here Saturday from 5 to 6 here on AM 690. And we added Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon, just before you have dinner with your parents. Yeah. Anyway, we're here on AM 690 as well. If you're listening to us on our website, generations808.com, all our past shows are archived there, along with our past Generations TV shows that were aired on OC 16, Spectrum OC 16. So anyway, we've been talking about the summer, about caregiving a lot, and today we wanted to dive a little bit more into a more specialty care, somebody that has Alzheimer's or dementia. So we have two experts in the field, because I surround myself around experts. I'm a mortgage guy, as a lot of you guys know, besides being a publisher, but I have to surround myself around people that know more than me, especially this particular topic of dementia care. So we have Ms. Pat Bemis and Mapuana Ta'amu. So welcome, ladies, to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I mean, what's great about it, they can't see you, obviously, but we have an older person and a younger person. So that's what's important. And I was telling Mapuana when I first met her that it's good to see younger people, and we need more younger people involved in aging, because like yourself and I'm 58. At some point down the road, we're not going to be able to work or don't want to work. We want to retire. Hopefully, our caregiving chores are up. So today, we're going to talk about dementia care, or caring for somebody that has dementia. And Pat Bemis here and Mapuana Ta'amu are going to talk about that. So, Pat, give us a little bit of background on yourself and what you're doing today as well.
Thank you, Percy. First of all, I'm an RN. I've spent most of my training here in Hawaii. I've taught at Hawaii Pacific University.
Oh, good for
and,
you.
And retired several years ago, but I'm actually busier now than when I was working.
Why is that? Everybody says the same thing.
Well, you start to be able to have time to do the things that you're really passionate about, and caregiving is something I am very passionate about. I care for my husband, who is a retired physician. He's had Parkinson's disease for 30 years.
30 years.
Yes, he was diagnosed before he was 40, and now he has dementia, and that was a big surprise to me. I wasn't factoring in that dementia was part of Parkinson's until recently. And I also care for my mother, who is in assisted living in Philadelphia, and she has Alzheimer's disease, which is different than Parkinson's dementia. So
Parkinson's is part of that umbrella of dementias, right?
Yes.
And I didn't realize that either until about 5 years ago.
Yes. Mampu and I attended a training by an expert who came to Hawaii last year, Tipa Snow. And I've been following her on the internet for several years and hoping to attend her classes. And she finally came to Hawaii. And I'm telling you, she opened my eyes to so many things that previously, if I had known, I would have made big changes about.
Yeah, I that's Mapuana told me about that as well. Tipa Snow is a national speaker, trainer, and she came to Hawaii a few months ago. And so both of you were in that class?
Yes, that's how we met. And I think I was the oldest and she was the youngest in the class. And we just kind of connected. And it's been really wonderful working along with her and giving presentations. I've totally enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we try to do, bring out experts in the field and bring out resources out there. And dementia is, Alzheimer's is growing so rampantly. It's the only disease really right now, from what I understand, it can't stop it or slow it down.
No, it's very frightening how it's increasing in its the number of people being affected. But on the flip side of that is the hope And that's one of the things that I want to convey to your listeners today is there's so much fantastic research being done both locally, nationally, and internationally on dementia, because it's hard to find some person who hasn't someone with dementia in their family or had it. And so that pervasiveness has gotten researchers to work together in a cohort of neurologic diseases to say if something works well with Parkinson's, maybe it would work well with Alzheimer's. And I think that's the thing that keeps me very motivated to do this, is the hope that things are going to get better.
I think with technology today, and more funding is being available to the Alzheimer's Association, all that research, Dr. Corey Leal here locally will be speaking at one of our conferences in September. But what's interesting when listening to you talk, Pat, is amazing, because you're actually a nurse. And you're finding this to be a little bit of a challenge for yourself.
Yes. I don't really know how people do it that don't have a medical background. And I think, you know, there's the physiologic aspects of the of dementia that are challenging, but also the behavioral things and the everyday activities of how to think for someone else besides yourself. We know that instinctively when we have children that, oh, they can't make a decision whether to go across the street at a red light or not. Mm-hmm. But people with dementia actually have challenges with that. They lose their perception of what does red mean?
Well, I'm colorblind, so I don't know. Anyway, I want to get to our second guest, young Mapu, Mapu Anatamu. Welcome to the show, Mapu. Finally, we've been trying to get you on the show for how long? And I think if Pat wasn't here, you probably wouldn't be here to show.
Exactly.
But tell us a little bit about your background, because you're only 20, in the early 20s.
Yeah, so I'm 24, about to be 25 on August 18th. So I hope you all make it to Aging in Place, because Percy's also giving me a chance to speak.
That's right. Yeah. About your birthday.
Yeah, wow. I like to do big things for my birthday. Okay. So in 2016, I started my entrepreneurship journey. And that was the first time I actually cultivated the idea of memory friends to support people living with dementia. And since 2016, I've been formulating the idea. But on that birthday, I actually opened my business bank account. That was one of my big things. And then last year, it was doing the volunteers coordination for AIP. So that was actually a really big rollout.
AIP is Aging in Place. And this is our 12th year doing it. August 18th, by the way. Now, when I first met you, I was kind of curious, because she was so involved in caregiving. And you're going to be 25 very shortly, but you've been caregiving in this for how long?
I like to say about 7 years. I started, what is it called, interacting with people living with dementia as a volunteer.
At the age of 17, 18?
Yeah, so right out of high school, I went to KCC, Kapi'olani Community College, and I didn't know what to do. So I was just kind of dabbling in art, because I was like, I like to be creative and things like that, but I took a philosophy class, and they required service learning, which is where you go out in the community and you volunteer 25 hours in a specific related field. And my field was healthcare, because I knew from high school I liked healthcare. And I was linked up with Holly Kuike, who, well, they are an adult residential care facility that specializes in memory care. And at the time, I didn't know what memory care was or what dementia was. I just knew I liked old people and I liked healthcare. So why not? So I volunteered there for about 6 months, and I really liked it. So the activities director offered me a position, and I worked there for about 2 years before they promoted me to activities director.
And you're there to this day?
No, I am still there, but I've worked in different parts of the care home since then. So I've been activities assistant, director for about a year. I worked in housekeeping, and currently I do CNA work, certified nurse aide. So I really get to see all aspects of how people live with dementia, you know, from their BM accidents, how to clean that up, what agents to use, what kind of food to feed them, how to feed them, sit them up this way, walk with them, and down to activities. Are they feeling happy today? Why not? What can I do for them? So working at Holly Kuike for the past 7 years really created this dementia philosophy in my own head. And the training that Pat and I attended with Tipa Snow, the positive approach to care, it gives me a way to teach people how to do what I do. I knew that with Tipa Snow's methods, I was more able to vocalize what I do because I know what I'm doing, but to teach somebody else is a different story.
It hasn't been trained or just thrown into it. I actually came from a meeting just before I came here, and one of the people I talked to, father just got diagnosed with Parkinson's, and another lady I talked to, dad had a stroke, now he has dementia, and because the mom was dealing with this, 3 months later, she had her own stroke in a matter of a year's time. And both of these people are under 50 years old. And it's a lifelong, but it's just amazing how prevalent this disease is. And that's why we're really focusing a lot, and I think our next cover story for October, November, we'll be seeing Ms. Pat Bemis on the cover. Can one of you give a background on the differences between Alzheimer's and dementia? Because I know for a lot of people, and I thought Alzheimer's was the disease. It's actually one of the diseases. It's actually dementia, which is the top of the food chain, if you can say that. Can one of you give us our listeners an idea of what dementia is and the different parts of the different diseases out there?
Yeah, so I'm a visual person, and sometimes the umbrella doesn't work for me, but if you can imagine an umbrella with the word dementia written on it, and then under that you have the different types of dementia. So dementia is really the main category with different types of dementias. Dementia in itself means that something's going on with the brain. There's some kind of cognitive impairment which causes the different types. So Alzheimer's is the different part of a brain that's dying versus vascular dementia. Or frontotemporal is in the front of your brain versus Alzheimer's might be different parts of the brain. So the behaviors that are manifested through the different types of dementias, it speaks to which part of the brain is dying.
Yeah, one of the things that I'd like to add with that is that I didn't realize as a nurse the difference between Alzheimer's and regular dementia. And I used to tell people, well, dementia is its own category, but actually it's a symptom, okay? And all the things that Mapu just mentioned, folks that have strokes, the football players that are having concussions and they have a frontal temporal lobe injury to their brain, that they're exhibiting signs of dementia, but it's not the same type of dementia as Alzheimer's. And the same thing with Lewy body dementia for Parkinson's folks. Lewy body dementia isn't the same as Alzheimer's. So my mom and my husband have two different symptoms, two different categories of symptoms. They're not equal. And I think this is relatively new information for many of people, and I wouldn't just say the lay folks in the audience, but also many medical people don't understand the differences.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when people ask you, I guess for me, the fact that you have dementia is frightening in and of itself. Yeah. Finding out which type is almost a moot point. Because how Mapu and I care for people, we don't say, well, where did your dementia come from? We just know the signs and symptoms of dementia, and then we modify the care related to the signs and symptoms that folks have, because not everybody has everything.
Right. That's one thing interesting coming from a nurse, and then now somebody has been at 24, been involved in caregiving for dementia patients for 7 years. So we always say, dementia is not really a normal aging. You know, like my dad just turned 90. He's still playing tennis 3 times a week. My mother's 87. You know, slowly I can see some cognitive issues, but getting old and dementia isn't the same. It's not normal aging, right?
No, exactly. I love hearing people talk about their parents who are in their late 80s and 90s and even 100 and that they're still doing. There's such pride when people say, my dad is still playing golf and my mom is still going to bingo with her friends. I love that. And that could be one of the protective things that they've done to not have signs and symptoms of dementia. being active and getting their brain stimulated. You can't not take your eye off the ball when you're playing golf. So that
I do. We will be
watching you. But I think that's a misconception that people have, that when you start to forget things, oh, here comes dementia, and then we immediately assign Alzheimer's to that. Normal aging does require us to be on our toes all the time, which slows sometimes our brains down. You know, we start changing. So being a bit forgetful, I tell people, if you forgot where you left your keys, that's one thing. But if you have your keys and you don't know what they are, that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's dementia. If you can't do something that's a normal activity, like eating. When food is put on your table, on your plate, and you say, well, what is this? And you used to be a chef. You know, that's not normal aging.
Yeah. Well, I know at the workshop you guys are going to be doing at our Aging in Place, we'll cover that. Mm-hmm. I think the title of your presentation is something about dementia, not normal aging, right? So both of you will be there. So, you know what? I've been involved in senior issues for 16 years now, and I'm just amazed when people still tell you there's really people don't take tests. The doctor doesn't even diagnose you. Slowly that's changing. I know where Hawaii got that grant, right, to educate the public and doctors about we need to get you documented. But are there certain tests that you can do to find out whether it is just memory or old or just it is dementia or Alzheimer's?
Well, I think the very first thing is, as maybe your parents or your spouse is aging, to start going to the doctors with them.
Yeah, I recommend it all the time.
Yes, and if a doctor is worth their weight in salt, that they would say to them, "So, what have you noticed any changes?" Because sometimes
the children.
Yes. Yeah. Or the other spouse.
Yeah.
Do you notice any changes that might not be obvious? And I just had this happen to me. My kids talked to me this past year about my hearing. And I thought, well, if you just spoke up, I wouldn't have a problem. And on my Medicare birthday this year, I turned 65, I went and had my ears checked, and I almost fell backwards how much of a problem.
Right?
Yes, I have. And so had they not been persistent, I would have just blown it off another year and said, yeah, I'm too young to be having hearing aids. And
well, you just must have listened to a lot of loud music when you were young.
yes, a lot of Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin. So I think having somebody there with the doctor to say, well, you know, I noticed this, and I'm not sure if this is something to be concerned about. I went to the mall with a mom, and she got lost in Target, and my mom never gets lost in Target. And so the doc may not want to do anything right there, but to say, let's see how things go, you know, kind of like let's watch and wait. Does she get lost driving? That's a bigger deal. And so there are some tests, but first the doc needs to get an idea of the scope of the problem. Is it just, you know, one day you forgot an appointment, or is it a month of forgotten appointments? And one of the things that I noticed with my mom is visiting her, and my mother cleaned like a crazy woman. And
cleaned? What do you mean?
She cleaned. Vacuumed, changed the curtains. I mean, she made the beds every other day, and making them meant stripping them. And so one of the visits I had several years ago, I got down on the floor to play with one of the kids, and I noticed how dirty the floor was. Mm. And that just got me in the gut, because my mother would have never let it get to that point.
Wow.
And I started looking at other things, expired food in the refrigerator, those types of things.
Those are really good tips.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Besides driving,
mm-hmm.
But interesting how, because everybody's family is different. Every person has a different characteristic in their life that they have, like being very cleanliness. And to really notice that. So I think if you're listening today, we have Pat Bemis and Mapuana Ta'amu, expert caregivers, and we're trying to talk about dementia care. Mapu, since you've been working in Halekuʻike facility here in Honolulu, what are some of the other tips that you found, early signs of dementia or Alzheimer's? The place that you work at, they already have Alzheimer's dementia.
Yeah, so at the care home that I work at.
Halekuʻike is a facility here in Honolulu that actually specializes in only dementia and Alzheimer's patients.
Yes. And our administrator at Nu'uanu, Dorothy Colby, who is actually our mentor, she is the administrator at the Nu'uanu, where she also facilitates some training with the CNAs, as well as other workshops as well. But at Halekuʻike, our residents come to us with dementia, so I get to see the various stages versus, you know, from the beginning to the end. In one person. So when caregivers talk to me about their loved one, I really have to ask a lot of questions so that I understand which gem they're talking about or which stage they're talking about so that I can relate it to one of my residents and then help them that way.
Can you discuss the different stages? Is that possible?
Yes. So with Tipa Snow's philosophy that we're learning, she actually created a positive way to look at the different stages. So instead of saying like your mother is stage one or stage seven or mild or severe and so on, she calls them different gems. So there's six gems. The first one is true blue, starting off with sapphire. So we can see that gem is true blue. Normal aging, no dementia. So that's us as caregivers. The next one is the diamond stage. So if you think of a diamond, you think of maybe cutting, sharp. How is diamonds made? It's under pressure. So in the diamond stage is when it's the early stages and you see a lot of aggression back to you as the caregiver. I can do this. I'm very independent. I've always done this my whole life. Maybe they're having trouble with finances. So in the really early stages.
They don't know whether they have dementia. Is that why?
No.
So they're kind of fighting it.
Yes.
So fighting with the symptom. Mm-hmm. And you as a caregiver, you can't really. How do you tell somebody, whether it's a family member or a spouse or a parent, how do you tell them? How do they have that conversation?
That's very tough. And, you know, the example that Mapu just gave reminds me so much of a conversation I had with my mom. After my dad died, we had to relocate her into a better place for her to live. And about a year or two after her moving there, she got awfully sassy. And she always had a sarcastic edge, but it was never cutting, as Mapu alluded to with the diamond. And I started having my feelings hurt, and I kept thinking, but I'm trying to help you. Don't you understand? This is help. And I mean, to the point where she threw me out of the house because she thought I was being very judgmental and saying you're being very disrespectful of where I live and what I'm trying to do, and this is my life. And all I kept thinking of is, did she have a behavior change? You know, what occurred? And now, you know, in retrospect, that would have been a first thing for me to say to the doc when I went with her, to say, I'm noticing, you know, some edginess about Mom. And then that would have been his first clue to, you know, follow up on that in subsequent visits.
Yeah. It's interesting. I had my fourth class reunion in high school a couple of weeks ago. Five of my classmates are dealing with the parents who have dementia right now. And it's interesting. I'm not an expert like you folks, but I know a little bit about it. So I said, you know, this is the new normal. When I got involved in aging 16 years ago, my studies show that anybody who was diagnosed early on, the life expectancy was about 7.9 years. Today, it's nearly 10 years once you're diagnosed. And I know people that have it for 20 years. And I've seen people be bedbound for 8 to 10 years. I've seen people walking around for 8 to 10 years, and then they get bedbound. And it's amazing the length of this disease. And unfortunately, well, better now, we're getting more funding for research. But when I first started, my research said, you know, cancer back then, heart, good, $5 billion a year. Alzheimer's got 10% of that, $500 million a year. It's amazing. So, but I hear now they're getting more funding, and it's getting to be something that we need to take a look at. We had a chief public policy officer from California, Ruth Gay, on here about a month and a half ago, and she was saying of the five drugs, nothing works.
Exactly.
But there's still a lot of hope. I think Dr. Corey Liao has been on here before, and we're going to have him again speak at a conference in September. But there is hope. There's things that we need to do. But in the meantime, best thing is just eat healthy, exercise, stay engaged in your community.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what Dr. Liao had mentioned the last time I heard him speak. He said, whatever you do for your heart, do for your brain, because they can't do well without each other.
Yeah.
And so he is doing some fantastic research. And I think that the folks in Hawaii that are able to participate in his research, we're just going to reap the benefits. His dedication stems from having a personal relationship with, you know, his mother had Alzheimer's. And up until that time, he was just primarily in epilepsy.
Yeah.
And he switched. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're getting so much research attention on this is, like I said, you're hard-pressed to not know someone with dementia.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're here at Pat Bemis and Mapuana Ta'amu, Mapu, as we call her. Expert caregivers for dementia patients and clients. And we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and learn more about the disease. And really, I want to kind of walk through some things, how you deal you train a son or a spouse about how to caregive for somebody who has dementia and Alzheimer's. So we're going to take a short break. Thank you, ladies, and we'll be right back.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay.
Let's party at the Cow.
Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play.
Let's party at the Cow.
We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Let's party at the Cow.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
When it comes to Medicare supplement plans, or what we call Medigap plans, okay, these are plans that fill in the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover. And there's plans from Plan A all the way up to Plan N.
When you're signing up for these plans, there are certain times when you have guaranteed issue. the Medicare Supplement Open Enrollment Period.
Hi, I'm Ed Motosui, and I'm with Financial Benefits Insurance. We're a full-blown insurance company that deals with seniors. We help seniors understand Medicare so they can come to us, and we'll gladly help them understand all the Medicare health options.
Helping you work your way through the confusion, navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit PointVacationsHawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. 591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
5914777
We don't play.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $6.99. Vacations Hawaii, your favorite connection to Vegas.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio, and thank you for tuning in this weekend here. I did want to mention, don't forget, our June-July issue is out right now. As featuring Auntie Dottie Kroll and Galen Aramatsu on the cover, talking about pride in your school, and actually it's my school as well, Mid-Pacific Institute. And a great story about giving back to the school. And so I always encourage people to go to a reunion. I just celebrated my 40th reunion a couple of weeks ago, and it was a blast. I mean, we're unique because we all dorm together. So like brothers and sisters to me, we know all about their parents. So, but yeah, check it out. It's a great story. In that issue, the reason why is our 12th annual Aging in Place a spreadsheet of all the different events, speakers at that event. It's August 18th, 8:30 to 2:30, and it's at the Ala Moana Hotel, and it's free to the public, so come on down, and it's a big spreadsheet in the magazine. You can actually go online to our website, generations808.com, and we have the spreadsheet there as well. But take a look at that, because we have 22 different workshops going on, and our guests today, Pat Bemis and Mapu Ta'amu, will be speaking about normal versus not normal aging. Is that correct, the title?
Yes.
And they'll be speaking in the morning and afternoon. Most of the workshops, we have a morning session, and we repeat in the afternoon because we know you cannot watch 6 workshops at one time. So it's a very busy day. It's free to the public. You can register or not register, but just make sure you come early or come after 11 o'clock because the morning is really, really crowded. And a lot of information, a lot of expert speakers. They're all going to have handouts. We'll have over 60 exhibitors, a lot of nonprofits there that provide services for our seniors and their families. So check it out. So anyway, we're talking about dementia care here, and that is such a prevalent disease as we grow. And when I first got involved, it was number 11 on the list of ways you're going to die. And now I believe it's number 7. And a few years, it'll be number 5. And by 2000... 30, I believe, is going to be number three. Mm-hmm. It's going to go up the list. And the bad part about it, it's a long disease. And it's actually, I call it a family disease because it affects so many people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I give you guys a lot of credit for doing what you do. One of the questions that I always I've thought about, I've heard, and I don't know the correct answer to this, and I think I had Dr. Corey Liao. I'm not sure if he answered it. Is Alzheimer's dementia genetic? Is it hereditary?
Right now, what he's looking at is the genetic component. There are genes that show up, but it isn't 100% all the time for you to develop the symptoms.
Yeah.
And it also depends if you know, what you get from your mom and what you get from your dad. So he is actually doing research on that right now. And what his proposal is wondering whether the medications that are available for Alzheimer's right now would help before you have signs and symptoms. So if you knew that you had a genetic predisposition, and that's what it would be, not a foregone conclusion, but a predisposition for Alzheimer's based on genetic testing and your family history, would taking the medication either eliminate or slow down the process? So I think that's pretty fantastic for you know, those of us who have dementia in our family and a family history of it, to know that that's and could be an option for us.
The scary one is the early onset. I've got a couple of friends, their spouses have it at like 55, 56 years old, and it's amazing. And they function, except for they're slowly losing their memory. They're still mobile, still getting around. They can still do everything except for remember what's going on. And it's pretty scary to see that at such a young age,
mm-hmm.
you know. And early onset, like the famous coach, Pat
Basketball coach
from
Tennessee. I can't remember her last name.
Yeah, and she got in her 40s. And I think she just passed away, but she was the first one vocally coming out in the public saying, I have disease, I have to step down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so prevalent today to see something like that. And it's something that I worry about as well. So what are some of the suggestions or tips for people I know, Mapo, you got to leave. You got to go to work. what are some of the tips for somebody that's caring for somebody that has a disease? And I like to, because I know you do workshop, but you do scenarios too. Mm-hmm. Can you cover just a couple of those? Like when people want to shake your hand, they don't want to shake your hand.
Okay.
Or people have a vision where people don't realize when your vision slowly goes down, you don't see everything.
Well, I can take that for Mapo. One of the things that I was totally flabbergasted is how our vision changes just normally. With people that are 75 and older, you don't have a full range of perception. So it goes down. If you had your hands at maybe 10 and 2 o'clock, you can see really well between 10 and 2 o'clock if your hands are focused out that way. At 75 years of age. And it slowly changes to almost like monocular vision, that if you only could see out of one eye and it was the size of a quarter.
Wow.
So that became very apparent to me that there was vision changes with my husband because I was putting notes on the mirror in the bathroom. And I thought, well, how can he not see this? Brushing his teeth or combing his hair, and it was not in his line of vision, and he didn't see it at all. And that's part of his
dementia. And the disease causes that?
That's part of his...
Not just regular aging for vision? Mm-hmm. The dementia caused that?
Mm-hmm.
Or Parkinson's caused
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. So when we're talking to people such as senior citizens, and we want to show them something on our iPhone, many of you have probably done that. So, Grandma, look at the picture of me with my friend here, and you show them the iPhone, and they take the iPhone, and they got it go zooming out, zooming forward. They're trying to get it into focus. And so that's an indication, you know, if people wanted to do that to see what the vision looks like. Or to say, do you see that picture over there? Doesn't that remind you of something? And they can't find the picture. And it's so, so obvious. The size of it is large. So there's some things that we can do to kind of make an assessment to say, I may have to change things around here. The big deal is many people who are getting older, they look at their feet when they're walking because they're trying not to trip. And so they don't look up. And so if you see many of the pedestrians that I watch that are on the corner and they're waiting to go, they don't look up. They're looking down, especially over by Walmart and Alamoana. Yeah, such a tragic area for accidents. Yes. I've watched people there that they're walking and they've got their eyes down. So they don't know if somebody's run a red light or there's a moped that's whizzing by them. They're totally out of touch, except for, I don't want to fall. That's what they're focused on. Yeah. So there are some things that we can observe to give us clues of how to help. They can't change this, but we can assist with helping them.
Right, and that's one thing. So, Mapu, I saw you do one of your workshops where if you want to shake the person's hand, they don't want to shake the hand. How do you approach somebody like that? I know that scenario that you did. I know it's hard on radio because we can't see you, but
yeah.
Can you walk us through that?
So that's actually called the positive physical approach, which focuses on the five senses of the person that you're trying to approach, who would be the person living with dementia. You want to get their visual attention first so that you don't startle them. And then maybe say something auditory, their name or hello. And when you get their attention is when you can approach them. That's the principal concepts of the positive.
They don't recognize you, they might get startled.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? Or if you come from behind and they don't see you, even from the side. Pat was mentioning the visual field. And as you age, normally at 75, you already lose some of your peripheral visions. So just imagine that a little more amplified and your visual field is much smaller. So if you're coming around from the side to hug your mom or say hello, she's might jump, she might punch, you know. There's different reactions that manifest with different people. We call that the fight, flight, fright reaction. So you can be a fighter, you can be a flighter, run away or kind of hide. Fight, flight, fright, also get scared and kind of curl up into a ball. But with the physical approach, we actually teach how to minimize that fight, fright, flight response by coming from the front. You want to get down to their eye level, get their visual regard, and then say something auditory. Make sure that they are smiling. You know, you want to encourage them to communicate with you. So you don't want to keep approaching them if they look angry or disturbed or distracted. That's what Percy was talking about with reaching out the hand and if they don't want to shake my hand. And as he also mentioned, it's difficult to relay it through radio. So if you guys come to one of our workshops, I can show you more in depth. There's also a technique called the hand under hand where you get into the handshake and you maneuver your hand into the person living with dementias in a way to comfort them, to maintain that contact as a caregiver, because you will want to assist them to do the next task, which it could be standing up or walking a different way or even feeding. The hand-under-hand technique really helps with personal tasks, because as our caregiver, we have the skill, and the person living with dementia maintains their strength. So in order to increase their independence, we can work with them to kind of connect their hand with our hand and do daily activities together so they feel more involved.
And good. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we're here with Pat Bemis and Mapuana Tamu, and you're actually going to be writing a regular column for the magazine starting with our October-November issue on caregiving specifically for dementia patients. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you guys, and I think it's one thing that we're seeing so prevalent, like I said, What other resources out there? I mean, you guys are great resources, and we'll give you out your phone number. But before you leave, I know Mapu has to go back to work. What's the best way to reach you at?
The best way to reach us at this time would be to go to our website. It's pac.hui.hawaii.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You got a new website? .com. That's mm-hmm. new.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Are you able to give out your phone numbers so people can call if they have questions?
We haven't gotten a phone number yet, but that's how you can connect okay. with us.
If not, give me a call. Mm-hmm. I'm in a magazine. I know both of these here, mm-hmm. but that's something that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
October, November issue will be your first issue where you can do a regular column on caregiving. What other resources out there for families that listen to the show and are struggling with this disease and caregiving for somebody?
Mm-hmm. The Alzheimer's Association has an amazing amount of educational material. And their one big thing that I would ask for is what are the 10 signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's? And that's a great starting point that even, you know, you don't have to have all 10. But something to give someone a place to start in making an assessment with their family member or their spouse that something's not quite right, and you have that symptom and it and it's listed on the 10 top symptoms of Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Association, ALZ.org, is just amazing for educational information. There's also support groups in town that are listed on their website for folks to go to find out either more information or to just to be with someone else.
Being with their I call them their peeps.
Yep, their peeps.
Because it's so true. I just found out we had on a show recently that Ilima Lehano in Kapolei
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
has an Alzheimer's Association support group meeting in there once a month. So give them a call, or you can actually go to the Alzheimer's website. But that's so important. And I've spoken at some of these groups, and it's interesting. The first 20 minutes or so, they're meeting everybody in the group, whether it's 10 or 20 people, and they're all like, they come in there not knowing who else is there. But after a couple of meetings, they realize, oh, Pat's dealing with her mother and her husband. And so the first 20 minutes is all venting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a story recently where a friend of mine said, I wanted to take care of my parents, but both his parents are bedbound and one had dementia. And he says, I wanted to be helpful. And it's him and his wife, and they have two little kids. And he said, we tried to do something. And he said, they would be in a separate room, and it's got a commercial bed on there where it goes up and down and things. And they put a bell in between the two beds. And he said, one of the biggest mistakes they did was, they would ring the bell every 5 minutes. They had to go in the room. As funny as it sounded, they were trying to be helpful.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
they realized very quickly that we're not going to go in the room every 5 minutes. But dealing with the disease, let alone caring for somebody, it's new territory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I told my friend, it's the new normal now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, hearing that in a support group, that's one of those things you file away, let's never do that. You know, when you hear someone who, with great intentions, thought this was going to be a brilliant idea, and it turns out, well, yeah, when you think about it realistically, the person with dementia doesn't remember they just rang the bell. So I'm going to ring it again. And I like the sound of the bell, so I'm going to ring it again. And it has nothing to do with the purpose of the bell. So go in there to the support group, you know, you can find out what not to do, but also, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Because most of us, when we're doing our daily work, we're not thinking, how could I make this better? You're just trying to get through the day.
Exactly. Just survive.
And you know, I usually go into the bathroom and talk in the mirror when I've just about had it, and my prayer is, please give me at least 5 more minutes of patience.
But you're a nurse.
I know. But I'm not getting paid for this. there's a difference when you're, you know, you're on the floor and you're taking care of it. You're like, yeah, this is what I signed up for. This is what I get paid for. I love my job. And it's after 8 hours or 12 hours, I get to go home and have a different life. And so that's a big aha, that there's no relief coming. And you can keep looking at the clock and nobody's at the door. And not, you know, I don't want to paint the picture that it's really awful, but it can be emotionally exhausting as well as physical.
Yeah. So, Mapo, really quickly before you leave, give us a couple tips that you know that really helps families dealing with somebody who has dementia.
Families.
I know you actually care for clients right now separately, too.
Sort of. My memory friend's business is slowly growing, and I like it to go slow. But I do have a patient that is living with dementia, and the hardest thing to get her to understand is that she needs a geriatrician. She really relies on her PCP, her primary care physician, and believes what he says. But, I mean, even if you are not old, or you think you're not old, when you reach, and I don't know, what is it, maybe 60 or so, you should maybe go get a checkup from a geriatrician. Why not, you know? I mean, it might hurt a little financially, but other than that, your health is going to thrive.
Well, insurance covers that, the visit.
Okay, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one tip, is to find a geriatrician, one that you trust. Don't just settle for one. My grandma went to see one, and I went in on one of her visits, and it was interesting because she met with the caregiver so that she could vent more than checking up on my grandmother, when it was like the medications needed to be adjusted and, you know, my grandma needed to be tended to more than have a caregiver support group in the office. So I advocated for a new geriatrician, and I think things happen that way. Mm-hmm. But another tip would be to, when you notice they are becoming incontinent, and you do start putting Depends or briefs or underwear, whatever you may call it, check it periodically, instead of just waiting till it kind of overflows and that be the signal. At the care home, we toilet our residents every 4 hours. I think in bed, we check them every 2 hours. So it can develop a rash. You know, a lot of things can go wrong, UTIs, if you're not checking that regularly. So that's another tip I would give to family caregivers. And also with that incontinence role, Chucks come in handy. It's disposable pads. You can buy, bring some in the car, bring some everywhere that they sit down.
Chucks?
I'm not sure if that's what they're called.
Yeah, they're underpads.
Oh, underpads.
Yes. Okay, they're underpads.
And they're blue or green.
Or even, I think, orange. They come in different sizes. Mm-hmm. It's similar to puppy pads, mm-hmm. but for adult use, or even for children when they wet the bed. That's what you can use it for. There are disposable ones and there are fabric ones. Mm-hmm. And at the care home, we put a fabric and then we put the disposable on top. The fabric one helps to turn them at night when we have to do brief changes in bed. So that's another tip. You can use the fabric and then put the disposable on top. Tape briefs come in handy when your person is hard to walk around, if you don't already know about tape briefs. They come in different sizes, different vendors. But I think those are the essentials. That area I talk about a lot because it's very important. Yeah, it's very important to maintain, as well as dental hygiene and, you know, taking showers and such. But I think that area can cause you a lot of problems because once they get a UTI, behaviors get worse. You don't know what's happening. You call the ER, then you have the ambulance bill and everything goes wrong. But if you just maintain that area a little bit more than the others, I think you'll be in safe waters.
It's also a skin integrity issue. I'm so glad you brought that up. The skin becomes much more fragile as we age. And because we live in Hawaii, we've got heat. And so heat and moisture creates a nice media for bacteria.
To grow, yes.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, great tips. See, we got to bring you back on, Mafuana and Ms. Pat Bemis. So thank you so much. It is such a prevalent disease, and we are looking at doing a cover story on Alzheimer's dementia next year in 2019. But so don't forget, they're going to be at the Aging in Place event August 18th at the Ala Moana Hotel. You're speaking in the morning and afternoon, so thank you very much. It's 8:30 to 2:30. It's totally free. All expert speakers, and they all have handouts. We have over 60 exhibitors, so check it out. If you want to go to our website, generations808.com has all our information, as well as all our past radio and TV shows and all the past magazines as well. So thank you, ladies, very much. I appreciate it. Look out for the article in coming October, November of Caregiving for Dementia Clients. Thank you very much, everybody. Aloha. and live well.